Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The severe weather event presented a number of challenges throughout the metropolitan area. And here in Jefferson Parish, there was some kind of unusual flooding in some areas. And here to talk to us about is Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Council at Large. Scott, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thanks.
So, Scott, I know that you guys are probably engaged in a little after action as it relates to yesterday's weather event. And what does that reveal?
It revealed there was a lot of rain. I mean, it was a rain event like we haven't seen around here in quite some time. For instance, on the East Bank, I got some numbers a little while ago from our Public Works Department. Phocis and West Esplanade, that intersection had almost 7 inches of rain. Severn and West Napoleon, almost 7 inches. Elmwood, the pump station there, recorded 7 inches. Airline Park and West Napoleon, 7 inches. Northwest Kenner, 6.8 inches. River Ridge, 7.2 inches. Mostly, there was some flooding on the West Bank, but it was mostly East Bank-centric. The West Bank actually recorded lower rain totals, and the stations there maintained levels. But the East Bank and part of the West Bank got walloped yesterday, and really the drainage, the subsurface drainage, the pump capacity was overwhelmed by the amount of rain we got in a period of time, and it just took a little while to catch up. All the pumps were 192 of 194 were working. The two that were not in service were inconsequential. So they were all there. They were all on. The first question we get when an event like this happens is, are the pumps on? Are the pumps on? We don't see the water moving. They are on, whether they're switched on manually or they're automatically kicked on at a certain level. They're always on, but a certain level triggers all the function. And we certainly hit that yesterday, but just because you don't see the water moving doesn't mean it's not draining. It just means it has to get to a certain point before it gets out of there and starts to circulate.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, the intensity of the rain, for one, but in my neighborhood, you know where I live, I mean, we never get water above the curb. And it was about 2 or 3 inches above the curb across the entire street. And that's going back to Katrina. I've never seen water like that, but also I've not seen the intensity of the rain and the duration like that either. Thankfully, we'd get like these brief little 10-minute breaks, and you could see the flow of the water moving. As soon as that break hit about minute three, right, you could see everything starting to move right away.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, there were people who were critical of schools staying open yesterday, and look, I've seen them cancel school for less, and we don't have anything to do with that. It's the school system and the school board that make those decisions, although people do think we have some influence over that. But I think yesterday it looked like, at the outset, the North Shore was going to get most of the severe weather, which it did, and we were going to get some thunderstorms and some potentially severe weather throughout the day, but not to the extent the North Shore was going to get. What I think was a surprise to many was the amount of rain that we got and how slowly the system moved over us at times. And that was, I think, just sort of a nature of, it's the nature of weather. It just happens differently sometimes. And the good thing is most of the bad weather came after school was in session. Unfortunately, a lot of schools did have early dismissals yesterday and got caught up in some of it and had to stay later at school. But it was good that the schools kept their students late and didn't, push them out into the bad weather. And they let them stay there until things cleared and parents could come and get them.
Scott, any incidents of residential flooding or commercial property flooding?
Some isolated reports that we had heard. I think a couple of businesses on Old Metairie got a little bit of water intrusion. The Old Metairie Barbershop, I know, got some water in on their floor. A couple of restaurants along Metairie Road got a little bit of water intrusion. And Metairie Road, as you know, is a disaster. It's got terrible drainage. It's a state highway, and there's very little we can do with it without influence from the state. And we'd like the state to invest a lot of money into Metairie Road. Unfortunately, investing that money and digging around Metairie Road causes a lot of problems as well. But that was one of the trouble spots. And there were a few other isolated spots around the parish where some water did get in. Typically, water does not get in homes and businesses. Our system is designed to hold water in the streets until it drains out, and typically it does that. Yesterday, there were some exceptions, though.
So we often hear about how much rainfall the system in the city of New Orleans is able to handle. Do you have a grasp of those numbers for Jefferson Parish on the East Bank?
It's basically an inch in the first hour and then a half inch every hour after that can drain away through all of our pumping capacity. And we obviously got much more than that yesterday, and that's why it was sticking around for a lot longer than many people are used to. It just was a very unusual rain event that dumped a ton of rain in a generally short period of time, even though it lasted a good chunk of the day. To have that much rain come in that period of time is still pretty unusual. But the capacity was tested. The capacity was overwhelmed, but the pumps eventually caught up, and there was no problem with the pumps. It was just so much rain it couldn't pump it out in time, and that's the challenge.
Now, I know recently you guys have embarked upon a projects to have diversion, right, retention ponds. Were those utilized yesterday, do you know? Like, I know Pontiff, for example, is one of the diversion areas.
Yeah, and look, thank goodness. I live in Old Metairie, not far from Pontiff, and thank goodness Pontiff is used for that purpose, because I drove into there yesterday after the rain stopped and looked around a little bit. It's the highest I've ever seen the water in Pontiff, at least since I've been around where I live since 2012. It was high, it was a lot, and it's still there this morning. So it worked as designed, and Pontiff always does with the big pumps that take the water off the streets and puts it into Pontiff, into the middle of it. Unfortunately, it gums up the works at the playground for a couple of days, but the trade-off would be to have that water in our streets, and the situation around Old Metairie and other parts of Metairie would have been much worse if it wasn't for that water dumping into Pontiff.
Is that something that y'all feel like you're going to continue to do? I know there's some green spaces along Earhart Expressway that are used as diversion ponds as well, and I typically see them after an event being, filled to the max. Are y'all in the process of identifying more of those same opportunities?
I think those conversations are always happening. I'm not privy to the intricacies of all of it, but I know there are conversations, and I know there are always people seeking out solutions. And one of those that, is always on our radar that we'd love to see come to fruition is the pump to the river, where it would take it from the Hoey's Canal Basin past Metairie Country Club and dump the water into the river and drain a really big part of our problem area in Old Metairie by the 17th Street Canal border between New Orleans and Jefferson, that really needs to be addressed. It would address a lot of those problems. Unfortunately, it involves a ton of federal funding. It involves New Orleans buy-in to make it a more worthwhile project for the feds. And it's very, very expensive and will take a long time to ever come to fruition. I mean, I think this was first discussed, decades ago, and we're still nowhere with it. So hopefully, I know those discussions continue. I know people want to see it get done. It's something we ask about with our federal delegation consistently, and We talk about it on the local level. Would love to see that happen. The Pump to the River project in Harahan has worked beautifully since that went into commerce a few years ago. We just need more of that to get water out into a big water source.
And am I correct that Station 6 is the station there that's on the border of Orleans and Jefferson, and that was the one that was kind of found itself in a troubled state yesterday?
I haven't heard the specifics, or at least valid specifics about that yet, because I haven't spoken to our public works director since after. Basically, I saw the news report that came out that said they had to ration power, but I don't know anything beyond what happened specifically there yesterday other than that. I know that I don't think it was as bad as it has been in the past, because we didn't have the problems resulting from that we've seen in the past, as far as I know, in the conversations that I've had with our public works department. But it's typically historically a problem child, and hopefully that station, with its new power source coming online in the not too distant future, will not be as much of a problematic station as it has been in the past, because it's unfortunate that we have to rely on what happens over there and it directly affects us, and we have very little to do about it. But hopefully that's going to change before too long.
Yeah, I saw and I'm sure you saw the videos of the West Metairie Canal, where the water was just lightly lapping over the banks of the canal. I haven't seen something like that since Katrina, for sure.
Look, I remember, that's a rare sight here. I remember growing up, I lived on Academy Drive, and there was a canal right behind our house. And every time we got rains like we got yesterday, we'd worry about that canal overflowing, and we had a wash tub that my sister and I would float around in the backyard. we had that kind of fun. But it's a pretty serious issue when you look at it as an adult and you realize when that water's on the street and you can't see where the canal ends and where the street begins, it gets pretty treacherous. And we had a lot of people probably on the road yesterday that shouldn't have been, because it got a lot worse than we initially thought it would be. And I had to drive from an event in the morning to a luncheon that wasn't canceled. I kind of wish it would have been canceled. And then when I left that luncheon, the drive from there to my house again was probably the worst that I've driven through in quite some time, if not ever, as an adult with me behind the wheel. I had to divert through side streets, had to go all over the place just to find some high ground. I've never been so thankful that I had a Jeep as I was yesterday to get through the floodwaters.
Yeah, SUVs are of utmost importance these days in this area. Any reported wind damage? I mean, I was watching the winds yesterday. They were pretty severe, through my patio furniture all over, the backyard, which you only see in plus 50-mile-an-hour winds. That's my kind of unofficial experience in the way I look at it. I know I've reached winds over 50 if my patio furniture gets moved across the backyard. Any reported damages
that I've heard outside of anecdotes like that? Not really. I had some stuff blown around, and I know some people had items blown around in their patios and things like that, but nothing significant that I've heard about. Nothing certainly like what Slidell got in that tornado that went through there. Somebody always gets hit with something when we have weather like this, and it's just a crapshoot of where that severe cell pops and who gets affected by it. So our hearts obviously go out to the people affected by that, but we didn't see wind to that extent over here. But it did get very, very gusty at times. And even today, I'm driving around, and I was in a business before you called, and the door blew open as I'm sitting in there. It's like a ghost walked in.
I'm looking at the wind blow right now. It's got to be 30-mile-an-hour winds out there for sure.
Yeah, it's a little gusty.
I thought today was going to be sunny.
Yeah. It was like now it's overcast and windy. At least it's not raining.
Yeah, that. Anything else to provide, Scott?
Look, I know it was a tough situation yesterday, and I always like to recognize the parish workers who put in a ton of work to make sure that our catch basins are clean, and we do inspect those periodically throughout the year, and we test our pumps weekly to make sure everything is working. And there are a lot of heads behind the scenes that people don't see that make sure that a bad situation doesn't get worse on a day like yesterday. And I'm proud to live in Jefferson Parish, and I'm proud of the people that we work side by side with every day that make this parish a great place to live, despite some of the warts that we deal with on an occasional basis.
Well, I could attest to that. I'll tell you, at the end of my block, you know, all of the leaves and debris and everything, it collects there after every storm. And I drove out that way around 4:30 yesterday afternoon. The street had been swept. There was nothing. There was no debris. And so they were on it yesterday afternoon for sure.
Yeah, and I'll say this. If people see something that's clogged, something that needs attention, they can always contact Public Works or let us know, and we can facilitate that for you. They can email scottwalker@jeffparish.net with anything they see that's out of place that needs to be addressed, and we'll handle it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you spending some time with us today. Have a great weekend. We'll check back in the future with you. Thank you so much. Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Council at Large. We will be right back after the break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Stay with us.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, I've been really encouraged by all the folks that we've talked to, both Greg Cromer, obviously Scott Walker. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Colin Arnold from Homeland Security for the city of New Orleans as to how engaged, and I know this holds true for all the council members in both parishes, how engaged they are in understanding the nuances of the drainage system and how it works, and there's this this new effort and additional effort to share more information with the public, which is absolutely critical. And it's really music to my ears when I hear the breadth and depth of the information that they've consumed in a short period of time, and a complete understanding of where the problem areas were, where the challenges are, and how they continue to remediate same. Because unfortunately for you, I, and the rest of the community, there are no easy solutions, and more importantly, there are no cheap solutions. And there's no silver bullet. All right. With that, Lionel Merthel joins us. He's the new special agent in charge of the New Orleans FBI field office. Lionel, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, sir.
Welcome to our fair city. You have extensive experience throughout the FBI and in a period of time. Tell us a little bit about your history and your works in the FBI.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I am originally from Miami, Florida. Began my career with the FBI in St. Louis, Missouri. While I was in St. Louis, I was working violent crimes, major offenders. So that's bank robberies, kidnappings, fugitives, murder for hires, crimes against children. And then had an opportunity to be a member of the SWAT team while I was out there, then after a couple of years of working there, I moved to New York, transferred to New York, where I initially worked criminal human intelligence, part of our intelligence program, and then moved to the Safe Streets Gang Task Force, working gangs and drugs. So I had a phenomenal time in New York before moving again to the Washington, D.C. area to go to FBI headquarters. And that was my first experience in on the national security side working international terrorism. So primarily focusing on our terrorism threats here in the U.S. It did that for a while before moving into the Washington field office to take over the Joint Terrorism Task Force there, and had a great time there, and did a couple different major investigations there, and also had the opportunity to supervise a squad that dealt with the overseas investigations that we deal with, primarily in the Middle East. And then moved to headquarters to spend time as in the director's office as the chief of staff for our associate deputy director. He's our number three. So I was his chief advisor, and he's responsible for the running of the organization. He's like the chief operating officer. So the budget, the facilities, human resources, training, all the above. And that's where I was before having this great opportunity to move to New Orleans.
Well, Lionel, they've thrown you into the fire a whole host of times. This could very well seem like a vacation before it's all said and done.
You know, absolutely. New Orleans is one of those sought-after locations. Great people, great culture, and just happy to be here. And it's it's a wonderful, definitely a wonderful opportunity.
So what do you see as, if you look at recent threat assessments, which I know y'all evaluate all the time, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges here?
I think, like any major city, there's always an issue with violent crimes. I know, statistically it shows violent crimes has decreased over the last couple of years. But, our community, we still feel the effects of the crime that's still happening around us. So violent crimes is always an issue and always going to be one of the priorities. And when we talk about that as in terms of priority, it's a priority in terms of identifying and prioritizing, the most impactful places where we can affect, the criminal elements to really make that impact on our community, whether it's those that are trafficking illicit drugs or, harmful weapons or, actually committing acts of, armed violence. Another area is, what we're seeing with the increased threat in cyber, whether it's cybersecurity threats, individual crimes facilitated in the cyber realm, the frauds that are occurring on the cyber side, but just you're seeing just an uptick and an increase in just the use of technology to enhance the criminal element. And of course, the public corruption, civil rights is always a priority as well across the nation for the FBI. Just making sure that for the majority of people that are elected to serve and that choose to serve, volunteer to serve, that they are doing the right thing. But for those who betray the trust of the public, we do make sure that we're there to hold them accountable.
Internally, Lionel, I mean, there's been a number of challenges that are talked about across the country relative to human capital, the number of police officers that we're able to hire and keep employed. What's been the experience with the FBI?
I think the FBI, like anyone else, has seen its fair share of the struggles of just trying to maintain talented individuals. And attract talented individuals. I think everyone is competing for the same group. But I think, we've done pretty well, especially what we've seen is during the COVID times, especially on the agent side, we actually saw an increase in the number of applications that we were receiving and people that are applying to be in the FBI. But, you know, there's still areas where it's still a challenge for everyone, specifically when it comes to anything related with information technology and of our computer sciences, you know, very technical skills where, you know, we are competing against the, you know, those tech companies and, you know, the other organizations out there that are pretty attractive to some of the young talent out there.
So you joined the FBI in 2008. What have you seen that has changed from 08 to 2024 as it relates to the menu of things that you guys investigate?
I think, you know, even in the time that I've been in, I've just seen really an evolution and just a sophistication of the threat and just how there's just really no boundaries in terms of, hey, this is a solely cyber threat or solely criminal threat. You're seeing crossover sometimes where it may be individuals who conduct, you know, violence from a gang standpoint who may also be involved in fraud or vice versa. And you just see an overlap and an increase in just the sophistication of the tools that are used to affect the criminal activity.
So our criminals are not monolithic. I mean, they're cross-pollinating across all kinds of crime fields, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I guess that does that tend to increase the complexity of your investigative work as well?
It does, and that's part of the reason why we try and stay ahead of it by, number one, attracting, you know, the high-speed candidates and individuals to bring the innovation and bring the diversity of thought into how we conduct our investigations, but really, you know, focusing on not really resting on our laurels, right? We, you know, we've had tremendous success and you know, some failures over the years, and whether it's the successes or failures, there's opportunities to learn from either one, and I think that's something that we've really, really pushed and strived for over the years. And our director Ray, you know, has four elements that he really focuses on: is people, processes, partnerships, and innovations. And that innovations piece is really that's what drives trying to stay ahead of the threat.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and I'm so glad that you mentioned failures, because if you didn't have failures, it pretty much probably indicates that we're not doing anything, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
The more you do, the more likely you are to have to experience a failure. And that's why, you know, at the sheriff's office, I used to tell folks, don't fear it, embrace it. You know, you learn from it, as you just pointed out.
Absolutely. I mean, you know very well that after every major operation, as a member of the SWAT team, after every major operation, we do what's called a hot wash or an after action. Whether it was successful or not, we were going to do an after action. And 9 times out of 10, it's not necessarily to high-five each other and say how well we've done, but, hey, what worked, what didn't work, what could we have done differently, what didn't we expect, what are some areas of improvement. So sometimes it's just embracing it, because at the tail end of that is the wisdom that comes from, you know, embracing that failure.
So in one of the obviously touchstone hot topics here over the last 3 to 4 years has been domestic terrorism. As it relates to this area from a threat assessment perspective, do we really see a lot of that activity in this area?
We do see it in this area, as well as, you know, multiple areas across the nation. But it's something that we found to be present in almost every jurisdiction that we have within the FBI, all 56 field offices. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, you have individuals and threats that just cross-pollinate from one to another, and that's domestic terrorism is one of those threats that you see where it doesn't necessarily come in one form, and it doesn't necessarily stay in one box.
I know recently there's been a recognition by your office of an anti-corruption watchdog agency to receive the 2023 FBI Director's Community Leadership Award. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So every year, the FBI recognizes a partner that helps us across the nation with combating crime and really enforcing the mission of the FBI of protecting the American public. So each office nominates a partner, and they're recognized by our director Christopher Wray at a ceremony. And so that this year, that ceremony will happen next week. And you know, the nomination for this year was the New Orleans Metropolitan Crime Commission, the MCC. They've been around, and they've been a tremendous partner for 72 years. And they're a nonprofit, privately funded citizens organization that really is focused on being a conduit for the public to report wrongdoing. And so they work alongside, you know, those partners out there to really assist where they can and in really combating corruption and, you know, any other priority matters within the metropolitan area.
Yeah, as you know, we have them on our show every Monday to talk about the most recent happenstances, both at the federal, state, and local level, and focus on a lot of the strategies deploy and successes and failures of same. And they have really become a phenomenal, robust player in accountability in the public corruption area, working with the respective IGs, inspector generals, as well as the FBI, local law enforcement, and others. And I got to commend you guys for recognizing their efforts, because they do a lot, and they provide a lot of data that it's hard for the average citizen to get their hands around.
Absolutely. They do a phenomenal job, and I know they have a tremendous team when it comes to their research program. They're, you know, really every single member of their team just operating on all cylinders. But they've been a great partner over the years.
So I guess you've had a chance to get your feet wet here, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely.
You got a little taste of flooding, I'm sure, out there your way by the FBI field office yesterday. How's it gone so far for you?
It's been going great. Like I mentioned earlier, the New Orleans field office is one of those offices that is really, really has a tremendous reputation across the FBI, just not just for the great work that our people are doing here, but really just, you know, the attitude and the drive that, you know, every single member of this team exhibits. You walk in, you really feel the culture, the family atmosphere, really the drive to, you know, protect the you know, members of our community, because we live here, you know. So the biggest thing is, you know, you'll hear us say multiple times, like, we're here, we care, and we're listening. We are members of this community, and you know, we take great pride in just making sure we protect those that we are entrusted to protect.
Well, if I may be so bold as to suggest, your plans for this weekend, definitely get out to French Quarter Fest. I think you'll enjoy it. If you love music and you love food, you're going to find no better place to be this weekend in New Orleans for sure.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, I've heard great things that this would be my first, so absolutely.
Final thoughts?
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and thank you for the opportunity. I know you have some great partners that you typically have on as speakers, and it's an honor to share the stage with you and them.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate your service and the service of the men and women of the Department of Justice, FBI, and all of the federal partners that I grew to enjoy spending time with when I was at the sheriff's office. And we thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for your service as well.
All right, that's Lionel Myrtle, the special agent in charge of the New Orleans FBI field office. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Folks, in the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Arthur Sturbkow, the local real estate analyst, talk about what's going on not only around the country, some of the changes in commissions and how that works on real estate transactions and what we're seeing in the New Orleans metro area from prices, trends, and analyses. More and more folks, and we'll talk about this in the 12 o'clock hour, are just having a difficulty dealing with the cost of homes and being a first-time home buyer. And everyone's looking to these national elections that we are coming up in November of this year, trying to find out whether or not Joe Biden is president, Donald Trump is the challenger, can make a difference. There are a lot of folks that I talk to each and every day that don't have really a high confidence level in either candidate. And I find this very, very interesting. I mean, usually things fall, you know, one way or another. But when you talk about some of these kitchen table issues that are out there each and every day, when we see the consumer price index going up, where we're paying more for groceries. I've never heard so many discussions about milk, about eggs, about a whole bunch of different products as I do now that people are experiencing every day. I mean, almost some of these conversations almost down to the nickel where folks recognize the increasing price each and every day. Same thing. Food costs. You drive through a drive-through, people are starting to compare and contrast the prices of a single with cheese dressed and a Coke and fries and what they're having to come out of pocket. And this phenomenon of, you know, you have two guys, both elderly, running for president, and the lack of confidence that people have, and when you poll the question of whether or not they are too old, there's a strong sentiment in this country that they are in both cases. You know, you think back in a multitude of days here, you know, when we elected President Obama, he was young, President the second Bush, he was young, Bill Clinton, was much younger. You wonder where that kind of went astray and where is that affinity as it relates to a young, aggressive, vibrant candidate. And how did we get to this point in a landscape where we're almost caught betwixt and between? It's really hard to articulate around this and around this feelings. And I've been looking at a lot of polls over the last several days trying to synthesize all of this data to get to some outcome that really makes sense. But in the end, I think that we're just caught in this morass of uncertainty. Trends that kind of happen when certain things or certain economic indicators were reported that we grew accustomed to certain things happening, so to speak, and now that's not necessarily the case. And we'll talk more about this with Arthur about housing starts. Housing starts have always been kind of the telltale sign. You know, we would basically modify the underwriting criteria for loans in the aftermath of a number of failures over the last 20 years in the financial institution world. You don't see that very much anymore. You don't see these non-conforming loans that you'd see these agencies that would pop up that would lend money to those that you probably knew from day one that they weren't going to be able to afford that loan. And regulators being a lot more aggressive on banks as it relates to their lending practices. There's just this a lot of uncertainty fueling this feeling that's gone on around this country as it relates to these two candidates. Hence, the third party candidate, who's not young either, it seems as though both parties are concerned about where that alternative candidate may end up. How many states does he actually get on the ballot? And what that would ultimately mean. He really only needs to get on the ballot of about 10 states and could significantly influence the outcome. And it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out. We'll continue to follow these polls as we get closer and closer to November in order to figure out what's going on. You know, I love talking to Ron Fauché about this. He's got a good feel for it. And we'll check in with him periodically as well. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to visit with Thomas Ecker. He is the president of the Mid-City Neighborhood Association. We'll talk about this most recent tragic happenstance where the security guard, Dario King, was fatally shot at Wits End Bar on Carrollton Avenue near Canal. We'll talk about what's going on there. The mayor says that they sent in all the necessary folks to do a look-see and that they have a clean bill of health. Many others suggest that is not and should not be the case. We'll start out the 12 o'clock hour with Arthur Sturbkow, the local real estate analyst, talking about where we are locally, where we are statewide, and where we are nationally as it relates to real estate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.